You have tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have tuned in on today. And so come on right on in and make yourself right at home. Be sure you bring your Bible and some piece of paper and a pen. If you want to take some notes down, we have another exciting day on today. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. Truly, God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. And so we come with the spirit of worship and praise on today, lifting up his holy name, recognizing that he is the great I am, the lily in the valley, and the bright and morning star. And so on today, I just want to say we have a great lesson, a talk on today in regards about the perfect man or the perfect person. And we're going to be talking about self-control. We're going to talk about the tongue set the course and how that our tongue controls the destiny. And looking at some of the different aspects about the tongue, going to look at the double tongue. We're going to look at the fruit of the tongue. And so in taming the wild. And so we're going to be looking at these particular aspects about the tongue on today. And I know that you are going to be tremendously blessed on today. So as you turn with me on today to James chapter number 3, verses number 1 through verse number 12. And I'll read that in your hearing. And you can read along with me in your Bible as well. It reads on this line, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and turn us about their whole body. We also behold also the ship, which though they be so great and are driven with a fierce wind, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeneth. And even so the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a whirl of iniquity. So is the tongue among our member, that it defileth the whole body and set on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of bird and of serpent and other things in the sea and is tamed and have been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things are not so to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine fig, or can no fountain, so no fountain, both yield salt water and fresh?" Now, let's look at the key verse for today, of which we're going to center our talk around about on today, is James 3 and 2. "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." We must recognize that the tongue is the most troublesome member of the body. The Holy Ghost helps us to control it and use it to either to bless God and to bless others. Let's take a look at that on today, as how that this here tongue can be used for the various types of reason and purpose. Since the day of Adam and Eve, people have attempted to determine the definition of a perfect person. Ancient Greeks implemented the Olympic Games, and athletes have been trying to break world record ever since. Advances in technology and medical are proof that mankind is constantly striving for perfection. Not too many years ago, a man first set its foot on the moon. Scientists now are thinking about sending an expedition to Mars. Archaeologists have discovered numerous artifacts that have been given us and gifted into the past. Yet mankind still has not reached perfection. It seems to be innate within the heart of individual to continually desire improvement. Many people tagged World War I as the war that will end all wars. One commentator stated that since that time, the world has enjoyed approximately half an hour of peace. Technology inventions become obsolete after a few months. Cars, they still rust. Gas prices still fluctuate. Airplanes, they still crash. In spite of all the increase in medical knowledge, still cancer, AIDS, and other terminal illness desperately afflict mankind. Politicians continually attempt to fine-tune our law to benefit everyone. But the world still struggles with disease, starvation, war, and injustice. Continued improvement in the physical, secular world has increased our comfort and style of living. Unfortunately, however, mankind has left his spiritual development far behind his physical development. Indeed, one cannot hope for perfection without a relationship with God and his word. Now, the phrase perfect man appeared four times in the King James Version of the Bible, twice in the Old Testament and twice in the New. And you'll see that over in Job chapter 8, verse number 20, Psalm 37 and verse 37, Ephesians 4 and 13, James 3 and 2. The Hebrew words translated as a perfect man, morally undefiled or complete and lacking nothing. The Greek word used in the New Testament suggests a completeness, full maturity. The Bible describes both Noah and Joseph as perfect, and God told Abraham, to walk before him and to be perfect. Jesus even proclaimed to his disciple, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." And you'll find that over in Matthew 5 and verse number 48. Indeed, following him, whose ways is perfect, will lead us in the ways of true perfection. What can the believer develop in their character to lead them towards the goal of true perfection? The Bible talks about perfecting praise, perfecting holiness, perfecting love and faith. The writer of Hebrew encouraged believers to go on unto perfection. And you'll find that over in Hebrews 6, verses number 1. Our talk today discusses how the believer can work towards perfection by controlling their speech. And that is so key, child of God. As you begin to be seizing your words and control your speech and things, it's going to be profound for the child of God. And let's look at the perfect person now. And up under this, we're going to look at three aspects of the perfect person. Number one, avoiding offenses. Number two, using self-control. And we're going to look at those two points right now. The Greek word teleos, which is translated to perfect in James 3 and 2, means fully mature, complete, brought to its end, or finished. Certainly, one mark of maturity is one's ability to control the way he uses their tongue, he or she uses their tongue. We must recognize that the tongue, over in James, it let us know, it said, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body." And that's the New King James Version of James 3, 1 through 2. James therefore seemed to have been suggesting that our speech is a tool that betrays the condition of our hearts and our maturity level. And so here it's letting us know that you can tell the mature level of an individual, child of God, and as well as the condition of their heart by the words that they speak or their language or how they control their time. See Matthew 12:34, Luke 6:45. The more we stumble in our use of words, the less mature we are. By his next sentence, it is clear that James was not discussing those who stuttered or live with a physical speech impediment, but those whose speech portrayed a spiritual defect. The Apostle Paul often mentioned his use of speech in his letter to the Corinthians. He spoke to the people with great plainness of speech, 2 Corinthians 3:12. Furthermore, he said that he spoke to the people in boldness of speech, 2 Corinthians 7:4. Although Paul referred to his speech as rude, the people listened to him because he was qualified to speak. As their spiritual father, he loved them, and they knew it. He was concerned about their soul and passionately desired to present them to Jesus Christ pure and undefiled. See 2 Corinthians 11:2. We should pray that we qualify to speak to others as did Paul, allowing the world to see Jesus Christ in us. Paul taught the Colossians also that their speech should be with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. Colossians 4:6. Now let's look at the next one, point B, using self-control. James taught that one mark of a perfect person was their ability to control their tongue. The church could have no better example of this than that of Jesus Christ at his trial, when he opened not his mouth. See Isaiah 53:7, Matthew 26:63. Under such assault, the natural human response is for a person to lose their temper and cause an even more trouble. But over in the Merriam Webster Dictionary, it defines the word temper as a state of the substance with respect to certain desired quality, as hard, as elasticity, workability. Especially the degree of hardness and resiliency given steel by tempering. Any woodsman knows that placing an axe head too close to the fire for a long time will cause it to lose its temper. When this happens, the axe head is no longer useful. Like the axe, the child of God can lose their temper. When they do so, his voice becomes harsh or their voice becomes loud, and their face or their neck will turn red. Their pulse begin to pound, and their body begin to heat up as if they're preparing for a fight. This condition of inflamed emotion can even lead to a stroke or other physical illness. The Bible teaches us that the child of God can keep their temper by learning how to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And that's 2 Timothy 2:3-4. The child of God must learn to discipline their body, discipline their mind, and to discipline their spirit so that they will be able to exercise control over every condition or situation that may come to try them. If they do not, they are in danger of exposing their body to the heat caused by inflamed motions of anger, and which that inflamed motion and that heat will cause also physical condition, emotional condition, and things in our body. So it's vital and it's imperative to exercise and use that self-control and endure hardness like a good soldier. If they give in to the uncontrolled emotion, they will lose their temper and be useless to God and the church until they repent and receive the Lord's correction. Fortunately, when the child of God submit to the chastening of God, they can regain their temper and once again become a blessing. The writer of Proverbs speaks much about controlling anger and disciplining emotions, and we'll find that over in Proverbs 16 and 32. And it reads, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." Moreover, Proverbs teaches that an angry person stir up strife, but one who is slow to anger appease strife. Furthermore, Solomon declared that it is the glory of an individual to pass over transgression. And so what he's saying here is that it is a glory of the individual for you to pass over that transgression that someone have done against you. Pass on over it. I heard somebody say, you know, just let it go and things. And sometimes we have to learn how to just let things go and things, because guess what? You want to be a blessing, and you want God's blessing to flow in and through your life. And I want to encourage, if you have not listened to our show on resolving conflict, I would encourage you to go back into the archives, or it was a lesson that we taught just on yesterday and things in regards about resolving conflict. And it'd be very good for you to listen to it, because you will be tremendously blessed of knowing what to do when you find yourself in that situation, and recognize that that is going to be a part of our life, and being able to be in control of ourselves, control of our emotion is key. Let's take another look here. And wisely stated that the person who knows how to control their mouth and their tongue will keep their soul out of trouble. And you'll see Proverbs 12 and verse number 13. Finally, one of the marks of a virtuous woman is that in her mouth is wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. The law of kindness. Now, let's take a look here at another point. Point number two, that the tongue set the course. A bit controls the horses. A helm controls a ship. And let's take a look at those two aspects here, how that's the tongue going to set the course of your life. Behold, this is James 3 and 3. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, and they that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. James used the example of a bit as a small object that looks like a metallic stick that fit into the mouth of a horse. While holding the horse rein attached to the bit, the rider is able to turn the horse or to make it stop. Even though the horse is much heavier and stronger than the horseman, James makes the point that just as one small bit can control a comparatively large animal, so can a person allow the tongue weighing a few ounces to control an individual. As the horseman controls the horse with the bit, so the one who controls our tongue also controls our body. At the hem of a person's tongue is either the Lord or one own human spirit. The child of God who aspires to reach perfection should work at allowing the Lord to control their tongue. And that is so key. That is powerful. Let's look at another one. The helm guides a ship. James 3 and 4 states, "Behold, also the ship, which though they be so great and are driven a fierce wind, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeneth." James boasted the point that he had made by using the example of a pilot controlling a large ship at the sea, moving the helm, which is attached to his rudder. The Apostle Paul and his company often took passage in ships during their missionary. It was necessary to properly steer these ships to avoid rocks and storms and to keep them on course. We must recognize that Paul testified that he spent a day and a night in a deep suffering shipwreck. Improper manipulation of an individual tongue will lead to spiritual shipwreck. Perhaps we should do well to take the advice of a wise man who found the star and followed it until they came to where Jesus was. There they offer gifts and worship him with their tongue. Now let's look at our next point, because this is a very good lesson on today. Let's look at the tongue controls the destiny. And up under this here point, we're going to look at a couple of aspects. Number one is set fires. Number two is set on fire of hell. And we're going to look at these two aspects as perspective about the tongue. The tongue controls the destiny. Let's look at that. Point one, set fires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts its great thing. Behold, how great a matter a little tongue, a little fire kindleth. James 3 and 5. Someone told the story of a judge who had to pronounce sentence on a person found guilty of spreading malicious gossip about another person. The judge then produced a feather pillow and told the guilty party to rip open the pillow, open the window of the courtroom, and dump the feathers out the window. The judge then pronounced the unusual sentence for the gossiper to pick up every feather and put it back in the pillow casing. The convicted person explained to the judge, "That's impossible." The judge then explained that trying to pick up those feathers is an analogy of trying to retrieve damaging words once spoken. Truly unwise words have caused duel between families who are at one time were friends, and even wars between nations. Unwise words have even caused many to change from one church to another, even to backslide. Proverbs 18 and 19 state, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Their contentions are like the bars of a castle." Every forest fire starts with a small fire that a crew of firefighters could easily control if they caught it in time. Yet the forest fire can destroy homes, lives, and property worth millions of dollars. Likewise, a mild joke can lead to a misunderstanding and a quarrel, which in turn causes an offended spirit. Often the offended believer backslides and never returns to enjoy the relationship with God. Indeed, a little fire caused by unwise words can lead to the judgment of God and the fire of hell, not only for the one with the offended spirit, but also for the one guilty of the idle words. Let's look at Matthew 12 and 36. "But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Now, let's look at the next point, point number two. It's set on fire of hell. James 3 and 6, let's look at that. And now stay with me, because this is some great teaching and understanding, so that you can get, the Bible said, "In all thy getting," get what? Get an understanding. And I believe that getting that understanding is just a profound thing for us as the body of Christ, because the more understanding we have, the more we know what God intended for us as children of God, and why he would even allow James to write this in this, or be put into the Bible, so that we understand that these things will happen, but what to do with it. and things, so that an individual won't backslide, and things, for an individual that won't become offended, and things, because offense can take you into a whole new different realm, and things where you can't hear from God, and it's just a progression of a backward spiral, and God does not want that for any of his people. The tongue is a fire, a whirl of iniquity. So is the tongue among our member, that it defiles the whole body and set on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell, James 3:6. The potential of the tongue is to instigate destructive behavior is horrifying, causing a whirl of iniquity. It is possibly the most destructive force in nature. Although the tongue is one of the smallest members of our body, it can defile the whole body, the soul, and the spirit, because it spews out hideous sins of the heart. Now, let's take a look here at Matthew's chapter number 15, verses number 17 through 20. It said, "Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever enter in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeded evil thoughts, murders, idolatries, fornication, thief, false witnesses, blaspheme. These things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hand defileth not a man." And so here, what Matthew is doing is saying, these are the things that is going to defile and will come out of the heart: evil thought, murders, idolatry, fornication, thief, false witnesses, and blasphemy. These are the things that is going to defile an individual. And so that's why it's important for us, children of God, as to be careful for the things that we say. Even when you are offended and things, we as children of God, we must be mindful as never before, as children of God, that offense will come. But what will you do with it? Immediately, God is inviting us to immediately to forgive. So our emotion will not come in flame. So it won't affect us emotionally, physically, and defile our own spirits and things. So it won't catch set on fire the course or your course or your destiny and things. So you will not spiral backwards, but that you can forgive and you can let it go so that you can move forward in the place where God will want you to, so that you can be blessed. At the end of our session on today, I'm going to pray a prayer of forgiveness with you, and I'm going to pray that God's divine healing virtue will just flow over the body of Christ, those that are listening, those that have been offended, or those that you have found their tongue and gotten them in trouble. This is the day for a brand new beginning for you and your life, because God wants you blessed. And I am that voice crying in the wilderness, and wanting you to receive all of God's blessings that he has bestowed and laid up for you. And whatever it is, you want to lay it at the altar. James' words, "Set it on fire, the course of nature," has long puzzled Bible scholars. Perhaps it refers to the ability of the tongue to start a destructive chain of events. Indeed, the unwise words that resulted from the unruly tongue can ignite a spark that initiate a series of rapidly escalating consequences that may even lead to fires of hell. James referred to the tongue as set on fire by hell, James 3:6. Certainly, the unruly tongue is the devil's workshop, and Satan is not slow to fan its flame. In a sense, he has even fueled to the fire by using the diabolical tools of deception and the spreading of half-truth. And that's why the Bible said, "In all thy getting, get a understanding." Don't allow yourself, child of God, to move forward without having all of the understanding of why certain thing has happened. and get that understanding, even if you have to go back and talk to the individual or asking God, Lord, give me understanding, why did that happen and why did it go down like that? Because the adversary will want to use it as a fire of hell, and that is his workshop, and things to spark and initiate inflammatory darts against the child of God. So please be mindful of that as you go through. Before you take offense, before you get angry, stop and say, I'm going to, first of all, I'm going to let that go until I get a better understanding of what was really happening. Because the Bible admonished me, in all thy getting, get an understanding. That's why it is so important, child of God, to be in Sunday school and your Christian education or being in Bible study, so you can understand how to apply the Word of God and live victoriously in your walk with the Lord, because the lack of knowledge could be dangerous. I preached a message a couple of Sundays ago. The lack of knowledge can be fatal for the child of God, and it can be fatal for our faith and our destiny. Now let's look at the next point, taming the wild. Mankind can tame animals and beasts. James 3:7 states, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. In the book of Genesis, the Lord gives mankind dominion over every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. See Genesis 1:28. God even allowed Adam to name the beast and the bird. After the flood, the Lord told Noah that he would deliver every beast and fowl of the air into his hand. Genesis 9:2. Since God placed the fear of mankind upon every living creature, tamers have been able to successfully tame even the most vicious wild animals. Now, let's look at the next point. Mankind cannot tame the tongue. James 3:8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly member or evil, full of deadly poison. And I'll read that again because I want you to get this so that we can have a better understanding. And that's why our show is here, is so that we can live victoriously and be empowered through the Word of God and what the Word is saying about the matter. James 3:8 said, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. A person can tame the most brutal, violent beast, yet he cannot tame the human tongue. Since mankind cannot tame the tongue, one may ask, how can a person ever become perfect? One can only accomplish perfection by following the advice given by a master navigator who is teaching a neophyte how to sail. Says the master, don't look all the time at the compass. Find a star and steer your ship toward that star. Jesus is the bright and morning star. Revelation 22:16 let us know. And we must learn to set a sail, our ship or our life, towards that star, that bright and morning star, and steer our life in the direction that God will want us to go. We should aim our ship at him and steer it towards him. He will guide us to the port of heaven. We should also concentrate on developing Christ-like character. Only when the heart is pure will that which emanates from the tongue also be pure. So you see that purification that is coming from and through the heart and seeing is going to purify our tongue. Now, let's look at the next point. Only God can tame the tongue. The Lord tamed the tongue of the upper room believers on the day of Pentecost when he filled them with the Holy Spirit, his spirit. Luke penned the word, And then they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, Acts 2 and 4. The Holy Ghost that the Lord gave to them was not just for the apostle and the rest of the 120 who was present. At the end of the apostle Peter's discourse that day, he declared, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Acts 2 and 39. In other words, when the Lord calls an individual, he promised that the person, the Holy Ghost, and purify their heart and their tongue in the process. And so here, when the individual receives the Holy Ghost, there's a purification that takes place. Number one, it purifies the heart instantaneously, and it purifies the tongue. So there's two processes that are going on and things of purification at the time that the individual is receiving the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And it's vital and it's key for us to have that in our lives, child of God. Now, let's take a look here at another point about the tongue. That is that it is also can be a double tongue. James 3, verses 9 and 10, it said, "Therewith bless we God, even the Father. Therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so, or so to be." James declared that it is neither natural nor spiritual for a believer to bless God and curse people out of the same mouth. He uses three examples for nature to show that it was abnormal for a plant to bear fruit other than their kind. Number one, he said, a fountain sprouting out of sweet and bitter water at the same time. Number two, the other example he stated that was as being abnormal, a fig tree bearing olives. Number three, abnormality, a grapevine bearing figs. Likewise, it is unnatural for the salty and fresh water to simultaneously gush forth from the same spring. These natural phenomena can only produce according to their nature. Similarly, a child of God who blesses God and curses his fellow believer has a serious heart problem that he should bring to the divine heart surgeon for healing. And so when you find yourself having these two things coming out, blessing and cursing, then James saying here, this is what you need to do, is that you need to come to the divine heart surgeon for healing, to heal the heart, to cleanse the heart and things so that out of your mouth will come forth blessing and not cursing. Now let's look at the next point here and let's look at cursing and then we're going to look at blessings. The word James used for cursing means to curse, to doom, in practicate evil upon, or to place evil upon using words. Other words is synonymous for the word cursing would be evil speaking. One example is in which one could curse another person would be to consign to hell the one who is cursing, or co-sign to hell the one that he is cursing. Paul enjoined the Ephesians, let all bitterness and wrath and evil and calamity and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, Ephesians 4 and 31. And so here Paul is exhorting and admonishing and encouraging the child of God, put away those things, put away wrath, put away bitterness, put away anger, put away clamor, put away evil speaking. That's something that God's not going to come down and take from you. He's saying, God is saying, here I'm giving Paul instruction, the Apostle Paul instruction, how to teach his people. You put that away. And see, God is requiring us as children of God to put those things away. What thing? Again, evil speaking, bitterness, wrath, clamor, and evil speaking and anger. He said, you put those things away. And things, God is not going to come and make and take those away, but we must, as children of God, he's given us power to put those things away. The Apostle Peter's words also declare that we should carefully guard our speech. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, here it is, all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking. Again, 1 Peter 2 and 1. So now we have James saying it. We have Paul talking about it. And then we have Peter also talking about it as well. So here, the Bible said line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. And so you're seeing it as a theme constantly out of the biblical text, constantly being said, you put that away. We God want us to put those things away. And so it meant that it is important that God get the message to his people that it is up to us as children of God to put it away. Because guess what? He's given us that power through his Holy Ghost to do that. Let's look. Cursing tongue is akin to that liar, a scorner, the talebearer, and the false witness, and the flatterer. So we must not allow our tongue to be of that of cursing. Now, let's look at the next one, blessing. The child of God will strive to use their tongue as a blessing. To bless someone is to verbally give approval for some action or character trait. Indeed, if a person looks for a way to bless others, he becomes addicted to finding the good in others. And ultimately, he becomes or she becomes a positive in their approach to life itself. Always looking for the good. Even though you may see evil, you may see the fault of someone else and things and stuff, but always looking how you can birth out that good or speak about the good that you see in that individual. And even when you have to share with other individuals or share things, you can share it in the spirit of love as you're admonishing or seasoning it with salt and allow the law of kindness being upon your tongue. Paul determined to be a blessing when he traveled to Corinth. See 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verses number 1 through 4. He went there with plain speech that was bold at the time, but it was sound and full of grace. The Corinthians knew that he would love them and that he was doing his best to bring them to spiritual maturity. The book of Proverbs speaks of the tongue giving out wisdom. The tongue of the wise is healthy because it uses knowledge correctly. Solomon taught that both death and life are in the power of the tongue. And he also goes on to close that verse to say that he that loveth is going to eat the fruit thereof, that you're going to eat the fruit of being either of life or the fruit of death, of the words that you speak or proceed out of your mouth. And so that's so vital for us children of God, as to recognize that. Have you ever seen an individual and they say, oh, she is just the sweetest person and no guile has come out of her mouth or no negativeness and no evilness? Well, guess what? That individual has perfected their life and took control over their life, and they have purpose in their heart and mind that they were not going to curse with their tongue. And they allowed the Lord Jesus Christ to be lordship over their tongue. And guess what? That same testimony can be for you as well as for every person, because God has made it available for whosoever will. Let them come. It's available for all of us. And so let's look at the last point here is the fruit of the tongue. The disciplined tongue can be a help to others. For instance, it is through the tongue that we receive most teaching and preaching. Moreover, it is with the tongue that the church glorifies the Lord and sings praises to him. A mother uses her tongue to calm her fretful child with the sounds of her gentle voice. The tongue of a diplomat may stop a war or help promote trading between nations. The spirit-filled tongue, now let's take a look, note here, might be able to pray for the sick and preside at a wedding or a funeral, bringing comfort and blessing to all who are present. Now let's look. The pure heart may witness to a soul who has lost their way and desperately needs God. May God help us continually to bring about good results through the use of our tongue. And so it is. God wants our tongue to bring forth a good use, to birth out life, to set the course of our destiny or the destiny of an individual and things. And let's recognize that God wants to use that tongue for a reason and a purpose. Now let's look here in my conclusion. James demonstrated to the church and to the world a mark of maturity when he stood before the judges during his various trials. And you'll see over in Isaiah 53:7, he opened up his mouth. He went from how Isaiah talked about and prophesied throughout the line of time that how he opened out his mouth. He went from judgment hall to judgment hall, but he opened out his mouth and things. Because of his pure heart, Pilate could find no fault in him at all. Out of this pure heart flows pure speech and pure words that bless all who would hear them and those who would read his words later will recognize out of Jesus' heart it was pure. And that's what God is calling us to do, to emulate what his son emulated as an example down here on the face of the earth, a pure heart and a pure mind. When someone's saying, well, he's crazy or that's idiot or he's an idiot, or when you begin to speak those words out of your mouth, you are literally cursing God's handiwork, using your tongue to curse. And God don't want that to be said out of us. But we need to look back down in our hearts and begin to recognize, Lord, you know, cleanse my heart. Let my heart be pure like your heart is pure. Let my words and my speech be pure and whole. And let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, dear God. Set an angel at the doorway of my mouth, oh God, that my words be uttered, be edifying, to build up. And if I have to, let me go down on my knees and pray for my sister, pray for my brother, amen, and things. And so we must recognize that these are the tools that we have. Although the tongue is a small, like the bit in the horse's mouth or the rudder at the back of the large ocean liner, it is capable of controlling the entire body and initiating a series of events that could lead either to heaven or to hell. The tongue has the power to stir emotions to the point where people lose their temper or even suffer physical illness such as high blood pressure, stress, and ulcers. Mankind can tame the most vicious beast, but they cannot tame the tongue. Only God can do that as the believers surrender and submit to the Lord to fill them with the Holy Ghost. And I remember when I first given my life to the Lord and was saved, I remember the mothers of the church would say, surrender. You need to surrender to the Lord. I would hear them speak into individual life. You need to surrender. And that is still key and relevant today. And we can contextualize that thing today for our time because it's still relevant. As we surrender to God and give God permission to take control over our tongue, and those that don't have the Holy Ghost, being filled with the presence gift of the Holy Ghost is vital because that's where God purifies our tongues and purifies our hearts because we don't want to offend God nor any of his little ones. Amen? And so here, when the Lord filled the believer, they also will speak in other tongues and the Spirit gives, as the Spirit gives them other utterance, therefore allowing the Lord to tame their natural tongue. Truly, the tongue can be either a blessing or a curse. On Mount Ebal and on Mount Gerizim, the Israelites shouted forth blessings and cursing. Although one has the power to bless the other, and too often people unfortunately uses the tongue to bring about a curse. Even the child of God can be guilty of cursing when they use their tongue to flatter, to slander, or repeat gossip. On the other hand, they can be a blessing when they use their voice to be gentle, be kind, to be loving, and to be true, and to be temperate. And so it is, child of God. Let us strive to be that perfect person, allowing our lives to be surrendered unto God's lordship over our tongue, over our hearts, and over our minds, and to purify our hearts so that and purify our tongue, that out of it will flow the issues of life. And that's what the Bible said, to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. And so as we keep our tongue, we must recognize that the taming of the tongue is vital, using self-control, avoiding offenses. And when you are offended, don't allow anger, and don't allow bitterness, and don't allow evilness and enviness and clamor and malice and guile to set up in your life. Cast that stuff off and allow the blessings of the Lord to continue to flow, because if not, it will have other implications. Sickness, high blood pressure, stroke, stress, and all these other things that can take place in your body. And you don't want those things to take place in your body, because you want the blessings of the Lord to continue to flow in and through your life, child of God. And recognize that God is going to tremendously, tremendously bless you as you yield over to God and the things of God. I pray, child of God, that this here has opened up your understanding to know that the Holy Ghost helps us to control our tongue as well as to bless God and to bless others. And that's why God has given it to us, that we can show forth the praises of Him and that we can lift up our holy hand. So remember, be slow to anger. He said, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth their spirit, his spirit, than he that taketh the city. And so take control over your tongue and over your spirit. And don't allow the offenses to have place in your heart and mind. Let it go. Lay it at the cross of Calvary, because Jesus Christ paid for it over 2,000 years ago. Extend mercy and grace to the individual who has offended to you and things, because you don't want it to set a fire upon your life or set on fire the fire of hell and to be released in your life or the lives of those that are around you. So as we close, I want to pray with you, and I pray that God will strengthen you. And I want you to lift those offenses up before the Lord and those individuals that you need to forgive, or just forgive yourself. Let's just pray. God, we come right now, Lord. We come, Lord, boldly, but humbly to your throne of grace in the name of Jesus and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost. And Father, we release, Lord, your healing virtue, Lord, and your forgiveness power, Lord, over this airway on today. Father, for whoever been offended and whoever have been taking offense, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we call your divine will, oh God, to heal the heart, Lord, the mind, and Lord, instantaneously, lift it up out of their spirit, Lord, and let them forgive whoever offended them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. They have too much work to do, Lord, to be beset by this here offense. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we call upon your name. We ask your blessed will to be done, and your keeping power, Lord, to be done in the name of Jesus and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost, Lord. Let your will be done and let your kingdom come. And Father, we'll praise your name. Bless, Lord. Let them walk soberly, Lord, and softly before you as you purify the heart and purify the tongue, that they will be sweet, sweet, sweet people of God as they edify and speak good and blessing, even to those that have despitefully used them and spoke all manner of evil against them. Let them bless them, Lord. And we thank you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, put your hands together and just shout hallelujah. Ah, truly God is great, and he's greatly to be praised, child of God. And you're on your way. God is doing a great and a perfective work in your life, child of God, and you are on your way, and I'm excited about you. Yes, you who are listening right now, I'm excited about you, and I pray that God will bless you. If this here session has been a blessing to you, go take a moment and rate the show so that we would know that it has been a blessing unto you. Send us an email over to HelenOrm@msn.com, or send us a message that this has been a tremendous blessing unto you and things. And I pray that God will just lavish you with his blessed and choicest blessing all over you, with his love and his favor and his grace. As you move forward in your ministry, in your work, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a prophetess, whether if you are a janitor, whether if you're working in the sound booth, the media ministry, or on the praise team, or in the choir, I pray that the blessing of the Lord will be upon your life as you be the workmanship of our Lord. I know that you have been blessed, because guess what? I've been blessed having you with me on today. I can just feel your blessings just making you rich and adding no sorrow and things into your life. And one of the things that I want to say in my closing, and I want to always keep it before the children of God to be mindful of, that if you don't have it, God got it, and you one question away from your blessing, all you need to do is just ask, and ye shall receive. Because the Bible said, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. According to Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8. And also, the word said, all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive, according to Matthew 21 and 22. And the Bible states, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, that's why you have to stay in the word. And that's why I keep coming back home. We're going to pour the word into you. Amen. Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you, according to John 15 and 7. So I pray that you are blessed, that God will just continue to bless you as you move forward in the things of God. And just know, to all of my covenant partners, I haven't heard from you, and I'm still waiting to hear back from you. Email me and want you to know that I am praying that God would just open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing as we covenant together and walk together in this journey, praying one for another that God blessing will be upon your ministry, and that he will strengthen and bring, send you help, send you that building that you need, send you workers that need it in the vineyard to come and walk along the side of you, seasoned people, people that know how to work the ministry and work the vineyard, that God will just send it to you fast, quick, in a hurry, is my prayer. And so in my closing, I pray that you're blessed. I pray that you don't you ever come down. If you've thrown in the towel, I command you to go back and get that towel. Pick up the towel and start working all over again. It was a trick to sidetrack you and derail you from the work of the Lord. Get back up, pick yourself up, and say, oh, Lord, Lord, help me to make this journey a three-day journey. Let me make it in one day. And so get up and start running. Brush yourself off, child of God, and you got a work to do. You cannot allow that test or that trial to beset you now. God has called you to the kingdom for such a time as this. Shake it off and get up and move forward in the work and the will. Get back to your post and do the work and the will of the Lord. Until we meet again, may God richly bless you. And I look forward to you coming home again the same time and the same station. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Blog Talk Radio.